Buenos días, buenas tardes y buenas noches a mis queridísimos comentadores culturales. El día de hoy vamos a estar haciendo un episodio en inglés. Vamos a tener la costumbre, como avisamos desde el episodio anterior, de cerrar cada serie en español que hagamos con un pequeño resumen en inglés para todas las personas que nos escuchan en esos países donde no se habla español. Si te quieres quedar, eres súper bienvenido o bienvenida. Pero si no, te invito a que puedas compartir este episodio con todas las personas que les pueda interesar este contenido en inglés. Muchas gracias. Bienvenidos a Cropina, donde la cultura se comenta. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to our dear, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being here. This is our only second episode in English, and we are so thrilled to be serving you in this way, to be reaching you in this way, and we love having conversations with people from all over the world. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for actually being interested in the topics that we discuss here. And right now we're going to be talking about the last English episode. So we were talking about Psalm 144 verses 1 through 2. Only the first two verses. And now we're going to be analyzing the whole chapter because we are trying to get you involved in the conversation that we've been having in Spanish. So what we've been doing in Spanish is studying verse by verse this chapter. Psalms 144, but now we're going to be doing it in a reviewing kind of way, a little bit shorter for you, but we want you to have the same content that the people in Spanish have, so we can have the same conversations and we can start moving forward together. So that's what we're going to be doing this time. You remember that we did the first and the second verse in the last time and we learned a lot of principles, but I invite you to receive this new chapter, this new episode, with a whole new perspective because we've been harvesting David's wisdom towards governance, towards being the one to rule. So we are going to be focusing on that, on all the lessons that he shares and all the learnings that he had throughout his life that are reflected in this chapter. We believe this is a very relevant chapter for you, for your nation, wherever you're listening from, and also for whatever people are surrounding you and having a discussion towards what is the right way to do this, what is the right way to govern, what is the right way to rule a nation in a godly and biblical manner. So get ready for it. We're going to start. Before starting, we want to thank you because we've been receiving so much love and so much positivity from the comments and the messages from you guys, and we want to keep the conversation going. So what we're going to do is remind you that there is a very direct way to contact us. You can go and email us at the following address, the following email, contacto@acropina.com. So contact with an O, contacto@acropina.com. Acropina, remember, it is spelled acropina.com. So contacto@acropina.com. We hope to hear from you. We are so excited to hear from you and to write you back. This is not just someone in a team just receiving content and receiving emails that doesn't ever reach me or reach the people that work here. No, we are actually really receiving each one and reading them and answering them personally because we want you to feel connected to us, and that is a direct way to reach us and to answer comments we do here, or maybe ask some questions and give us the opportunity to answer or to clarify any doubts that you might have towards the content that we do here. So thank you so much for considering it and for writing to us. We will be answering all of your questions there. As you might have noticed, we are having a little bit of a new structure here. We are actually striving towards having segments and very defined parts, and we like to call this part of the program the report. We actually have the habit and have built the habit to report back to you guys, to our listeners, what we're doing here in Agrobina, because we want you to feel very involved in what's happening in our group. So what we're doing is we're telling you the numbers, we're telling you what we're doing, we're telling you our plans, and if you want to be included in those, we're going to give you the options too. So the first thing to say is that we have finished officially the very, very great idea that we had last year to do a series in our blog, a series about the Ten Commandments. So what we were doing was analyzing the Ten Commandments in very different ways. We were analyzing them socially, culturally, even economically. We were actually understanding and analyzing and commenting on the importance to do them and to follow them, and the consequences, very, very harsh consequences that our societies have been dealing with because of ignoring these Ten Commandments. So we did that for 10 weeks. We dedicated one blog for every single one of the commandments. I invite you to go check that out. That is up there in our house, agrobina.com. So you can go and read all of that. Also, we have started a new series, and that new series is about our main principles as an organization. So our main goals and what we're striving for to serve the body of Christ. So the first one was donating to social causes. That was the first one. The second one, which was launched this Monday, was about giving arguments and hope and inspiration to the body of Christ to rise and fight the good fight and do good things. So we challenged everybody that was reading it, that is going to read it, to analyze if we've been an obstruction, an obstacle for people and for godly ideas to manifest on earth, or we've been giving hope and inspiration and arguments for people to believe in the truth of God and go for it. So that is the second delivery of that new series. So I invite you to go on and look at those two entries that we've done in our blog, and also stay tuned to the third, fourth, and fifth. It's going to be a 5-week series because we don't want to make them as long as the Ten Commandments. That was an exception, but series will normally be maybe 3, 4, 5 entries at a time. So we are so thrilled to have our first official series of blogs here in 2021. We are hoping to bless you, to equip you, to be the ones to give you the tools and the strength to move on and go conquer your city, your culture, your country, even your continent, and whatever God gives you faith for. So that's what we are doing in the blog. Also, we have the podcast, and we've finished the first series of 2021 in the podcast. So, in Spanish. Now we're finishing in English today. So we did finish that last week, last Wednesday in Spanish. We closed all the analysis, all the learning that we were doing on King David's remarks and lessons shared in Psalm 144. So that's what we're going to do today in English too. And then we're going to be moving on to a new series, which is awesome. It's a great series because it's going to be talking about truth. So we hope you get connected. We hope that you enjoy that one too. We're going to be talking about the hardships of maintaining truth, which are a lot, actually. It's not really just whatever. No, it's a lot, and we have to be vigilant, and we have to be aware. God always commands us to be aware, to have understanding. We don't have to walk life being ignorant of what's happening in the spiritual world. We actually have to be very vigilant, and we have to be very present and very aware spiritually of what's happening and the wars that we're facing and the difficulties that might come, because we need to strengthen our faith and develop and build our faith before the hardship comes. So to do that, we have to see it. So now we're going to be talking about maintaining truth in today's culture, in today's environment, in today's digital world, in today's conversations. So that's what we're going to be doing in the podcast in the month of February. And also in the videos, we're going to be amping up a little bit our stakes, because we want to deliver a little bit more content. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be organizing a lot of things to deliver better to you, to deliver on a weekly basis to you a video. And this is the most important part of the report. We need you to go check acropina.com. Like, that place is changing. It's changing. We've been remodeling our home. We've been making it more comfortable for you to visit us. We've been working so hard for you to feel welcome. So we hope that you find it more intuitive, more easy to use when you enter this time. We've been receiving a little bit of feedback, and also we are always checking the experience that people have when they enter our community, and we want to make it easier for you to engage in these so important issues and topics that are crippling, affecting our nations, and also maybe the potential of rising up as a church to combat and to fight those things that are trying to get up in our world. So check us in the house. Go acropina.com, and we will wait for you there. We will welcome you there. We are so thrilled for you to see the changes that we've made. In the numbers, we can say that we've gone up to 300 listeners and reproductions plays, and that's awesome, because that's a great rate, and our podcast will be reproduced more and reach more people if you are engaging in our comment sections, if you are rating it, if you are listening to it, sharing it. So we love it when you do that, because it really helps us reach other people and go other places, because this is what we do. We want to serve people. We want to serve you, and we want to be better every time we do that. So thank you so much for supporting us. And as always, you know, there's a way that you can support us monthly, which is our Patreon account, patreon.com/acropina. There you can go and you can register for a monthly subscription of $3, $6, or $10. And according to which tier you choose, you're going to be having different benefits. And I'm pretty sure everybody can handle that amount. So thank you so much for considering going there. Patreon.com/acropina. Remember, acropina, acropina. We wait for you there. Thank you so much. Okay, let's do this. I'm so ready to do this. Let me just open up my Bible. We're going to go to Psalms 144. Psalms 144. As you might remember, we already viewed and studied the first two verses, but we're going to be doing a little bit of a recap here, because we want you to enjoy all of the lessons that are offered here by King David. So this was written by King David, and remember, King David ruled for over 40 years in the nation of Israel. So it's probably a good source of knowledge, a good source of wisdom towards governing and you know, ruling in a nation guided by God. I think he actually laid out the basis for all of what Solomon could actually develop in wisdom and richness and wealth. He could do that because of his father's foundation, because of his father's military victories, because of his father's rulings, and because he brought peace and brought security and brought good ruling and justice to his land. Then wealth and wisdom could have been flourishing there after that. So let's remember that. When we're reading this, let's remember he was the one to lay out the foundation in which the wealthiest and wisest king of all time could live. So let's do this. First verse is going to be, "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle." This one is great because it's actually talking about a very important point that we have to have in mind today. Today we have to realize that he is the one that prepares us, that trains our hands. He trains us. Remember, when does the training happen? It doesn't happen at war. It doesn't happen right there in the battlefield. Where does it happen? It happens at home. It happens before battle. It happens before the war begins. So we have to be very vigilant as to, are we really preparing ourselves, or how are we using our times of peace? How are we using our times of rest? How are we using our times of good things? We need to be preparing. And I'm not saying that we are to be scared in the good times because of the bad times that will come. No, I'm talking about in victory, strengthening ourselves, making our hands agile. And I think of the hand of an archer, right? Which detail and with a lot of ability that they have to develop to actually conquer the activity of the archery. So let's remember that we need to be very, very focused in aiming correctly at the right enemy, in attacking what is worth attacking, of being able to defend our faith. And we're not talking about physical enemies. The Bible always says that. It's not against people. It's not about physical enemies. It's about spiritual enemies. It's about a spiritual warfare that we are battling in, and maybe we don't even know it. So let's be vigilant. Let's be understanding of the times that we're in our nations, right? Verse 2 says, "He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me." So here he is saying, I am putting God in the right place in my life. He is my love. He is my protector. He is my refuge. He is the one that can give me peace. He is the one that can give me protection. He is the one that can give me security. And also, he is the one that can give me victory, because he says, who subdues peoples under me. So he's understanding that although he has a military capacity, and maybe he is well experienced in the warfare world, he also understands who does the victory for him, who subdues the people to him, for him. So let's remember that in our lives, right? Let's remember that in our nations. We cannot depend on our own strengths to be able to achieve victory. We need God, because he is the one that will give the power of the nations and the power of the peoples to his children and to his beloved. He is the one to do that. So let's depend on God in our victories, because sometimes we tend to think, you know, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing what I need to be doing. I'm doing what there is for me to do, right? So this should happen because I did everything. But no, it's really God who guides the steps. Yes, sometimes we think our paths are straight, but God is the one that actually straightens it. He's the one that lightens the road for us so we can see what's coming. So let's depend on him and let's put him in the right place. Also, we discussed last time that when we do that, when we put God in the right place, obviously and instantaneously, the problems that we have acquire the right place in our lives and in our minds. What is near to you is what you're going to see as big. So if you're nearer to the problem and to the earthly matters, you're going to be drowned and dragged down to all those things. But when you have God near to you, then you are clinging to him, and then he is the biggest thing in your life. And then now he has the ability to work in your heart and to tell you what to do. Number three, the verse number three is, Lord, what are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them. And I love this because, yes, we're putting God in the right place. We're putting our enemies in the right place. But then we have to put ourselves in the right place, right? We can exalt God, but that also means that we humble ourselves to him. And in a lot of parts in the Bible, we can see that all it took for the situation of the nation of Israel to change was a humbled nation, was a nation on their knees praying and asking for forgiveness and understanding that they have hurt God, so and disappointed his heart. So that is the moment that God interfered so many times, because he heard the clamors, he heard the prayers of his people. So many times we're thinking about demanding from heaven things, and maybe we just need to humble ourselves and say, what are we to actually deserve your help? What are we to actually occupy your thoughts? Because there's a lot of things that we've been doing wrong. There's a lot of disobedience that has happened in our nations and in our tribes and in our cities. So let's understand that. Let's recognize that, and let's say, well, God, really, you are the only one able. Really, you give us the victory. Really, we depend on you. And also, we don't deserve it. We understand our position here. Our position here is that we depend on your mercy. And thank you so much for your love that's everlasting and doesn't change. But if it was up to our merits, if it was up to our behavior, we wouldn't be here. So thank you, God, for that. And that is putting ourselves in the right position. Number four says, they are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. That's talking about us, humans. And I think this is a very important thing, because sometimes we believe that our lives are the most important thing happening in the universe. And that is not true. We are just part of a very, very, very big and complex system created by God. And we need to understand that, because then we can count our loss as gain, right? That's what Paul said when he understood the bigness, the amount of things happening in the universe at the same time. He understood that the loss of his life towards doing God's will was a gain, because he understood that his life is only a little teeny tiny part of what is happening in the whole world. And I'm not saying that for you to feel discouraged or for you to feel less. I'm just saying that for you to be located in the right mindset, because sometimes we just tend to believe so much and have a higher concept of ourselves, which the Bible says we shouldn't. So let's just remind ourselves that we are in this position of being a little part of God's big plan. And in that way, it's not really about us and about our comfort and about our preferences. It's really about what God wants to do in our life. Number five says, part your heavens, Lord, and come down, touch the mountains so that they smoke. This is a great example of what happens when we put God in the right place and when we put ourselves in the right place. We start thinking about God in a different way, in a powerful way, in a mighty way. We start thinking about God as this very, very important part of the equation. maybe when we don't do that, we tend to think, you know, God help me do what I'm doing. You know, that's the kind of thinking that sometimes we have as a church, as a governor, as an elect person for office. I don't know. Maybe sometimes we just have a lot of things in our mind, but God. But when we actually occupy our minds and our spirits into putting the effort to locate God in the right place and humbling ourselves in front of Him, then we start to think about God as the one that can solve our problems, as the one that can actually redeem us and break mountains and open up heavens. This is not a teeny tiny God put in a little teeny tiny picture in our teeny tiny wallets. No, it's a big God. It's a capable God. And sometimes that is what we take, what we need, because there's a lot of moments that I've seen the church just shiver and say, you know, this is the precedent, or this is the Congress, or this is the law, you know, this is so big, it's unmutable, it's just too big to face, it's a big, big, huge enemy. And then we realize when we think about God correctly, and when we think about ourselves as incapable and as in need of God's intervening in our life, then we understand, you know, He is able. I am not, but He can do it. He can open up the heavens and break mountains. He can do it. Verse 6 is very similar. It says, send forth lightning and scatter the enemy. Shoot your arrows and rout them. So that is talking about God, aim at our enemies, you know, defeat our enemies. How did we come to this moment when David actually declared, God, defeat our enemies and point at them? At the moment that we did all of these steps first, right? So the steps are recognizing Him, recognizing He is the one that prepares us, and He is the one that gives us victory. Also, what are we? We are beneath Him. We are below Him. We are in need of Him. And then thinking about Him in a great way, in a capable way, then I can think He can actually defeat our enemies. And this is the way and the steps. These are the steps that so many times we just avoid or ignore completely. And we see the results of that in our nations. Number 7, reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners. And I love this because it's talking about, there is no way that I can actually outrun this problem. And yes, problems sometimes are actually unsolvable in our perspective, which means only God's hand coming from heaven and actually taking us out is what it takes. Yes? So if I am in a way, in a road, and I am by foot, and then a tiger comes, I cannot outrun a tiger, right? I mean, there's no explanation needed towards that direction, right? I cannot outrun a feline, a huge feline with huge teeth and claws that wants to eat me. So I will need something far greater than my own strength, far greater than my own speed, far greater than my own capacity to escape that problem, to take me out of it. And also, I love that when it says this, rescue me from mighty waters, he says, from the hands of foreigners. And verse 8 explains what foreigners are. In the Spanish version, it says strange people. And I am going to explain that in a moment. Well, the Bible is going to. In verse 8, it says, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. So in Spanish, it actually says they raise their right hand to swear, and they are deceiving. I don't know who has sworn anything with their right hand recently in your nation, but I want to tell you this, that the strange people or the foreigners that the Bible is referring to here is the people that deceive. Are the people that actually lie intentionally. It's not like, for example, I promised something and then I'm not able to fulfill it and then I fail you in that way. No, I'm talking about people that consciously and intentionally say something that is not true and that from the moment they're promising it, they know it's not going to be true. So this is what this Bible verse is referring to, and we need to understand it because sometimes we just think that the problems that we have are just, you know, random problems, but it's really, really, really not. Although our fight is not against people used in the wrong motivations, you know, doing the wrong things and causing the problems are the ones that are creating a lot of the situations that our nations are now in. It's not really about them, but it's about what they're doing, which is done through their bodies and through their laws and through their positions in power. So we need to understand that to actually fight it the right way. We're not fighting against people, but David here was saying, rescue me from the sea of foreign people, strange people surrounding me, which are deceitful, which are liars, which are people that are actually saying things that are not true. Number 9 says, I will sing a new song to you, my God. And on the 10-stringed lyre, I will make music to you. And I think it is great because it's really going from a direction to another. So it says, you know, praise be to the Lord. He is the one that prepares me for battle. He is everything. He's my refuge. He gives me victory. Who am I to deserve your help? And then you are great and you're mighty and you're awesome and you can break mountains. And then also come and save me with your hand. Aim at my enemy. Save me from strange people. And now I'm going to worship you. So this is a great path that we've been going through in these verses. So it says, I am going to sing a new song for you. It's a new song. It's a new way of doing it. It's spontaneous, right? It's something that comes out from the heart. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be always understanding that our connection to God in the midst of the problem, it's very important. So right now, I invite you to know and understand that maybe your nation, whatever it is not really in the greatest position right now. But that doesn't mean that you need to walk away from God. Actually, if anything, it means you need to run to God, like right now, and sing a new song, and say new things, and engage again, and say, God, I'm here, and I'm here to do it with purpose. And when he says the instrument that he's going to do it with, it kind of tells us the certainty that it's actually going to happen. He is actually planning how he's going to worship God. So we can understand that it's something that is really, really happening in the midst of a problem. We just heard him say, save me from strange people. Save me from these mighty waters that are drowning me. And then the immediate thing that he does is, I am going to sing a new song. How many of us have felt that we're drowning, and then what we do is just say, you know, I'm just going to push through, power through, and I'm just going to go and do what God asked me to do. No, stop and stay in his presence and worship and sing a new song and go and present an offering of gratitude to God in his presence. Humble yourself again and maybe check the direction that he's trying to lead you in. Listening to our podcast, we invite you to go to our home acropina.com and to follow us in every social media platform as at Dosis de Acropina, D-O-S-I-S-D-E @DosisDeAgropina. That's at Dosis de Agropina in all of our social media platforms. We love to see you there. And also remember to check out our Patreon account, patreon.com/agropina. Patreon.com/agropina. Agropina, that is Acropina. Thank you. Okay, let's continue. We're talking about our awesome series of the Psalm 144 and all the lessons that David as a governor, as a ruler of God's nation, left us. So we were talking about the last thing, which was singing a new song to God. And I hope that you are, wherever you are, listening from, understanding that God is doing something new in our hearts. That even in the midst of our rescue, even in the midst of our pledge, even in the midst of our prayer, He is doing something new, and He is able to bring something new out of our hearts. And we are able to bring something new out of our hearts to Him. The 10th episode, the verse number 10 says, "To the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David from the deadly sword." So he's saying here, he's recognizing that the kings are not above God, and that the rulers and the governors and the presidents and the congressmen and congresswomen are not above God, are not above God's law, are not above God's triumph, about his strength and power. So it's really about understanding his humble heart. I think that is one of the things that led God to say that he was after his own heart, because he was always understanding where his victories and where his strength came from. And although maybe he went all messy into God's presence, and maybe sometimes he tend to be felt as self-absorbed in his prayers and what he writes, he's also always going to God. So it's not really about going perfectly and just obeying God all the time and doing everything right. It's really more about just coming back to his presence. And I think that is something that we learn also about the nation of Israel. Maybe they were very disobedient and they did things that are very wrong, but also they kept coming back to God. And that is what we need to learn as nations, and that is what we need to apply as nations at this time of the historic thread of life, right? There says in verse 11, "Deliver me, rescue me from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful." So he's saying it again. So in case there was any maybe ambiguity or maybe some doubt as to what the Bible meant when it said foreigners, it's not talking really about people that are just coming from outside. It's just saying strange people. It's saying it's people with mouths that are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. And this is very important, because the right hand is the one through which you close businesses, is the one that you swore promises, is the one that you swore in. Like, it's really talking about the validity of somebody's mouth, of somebody's word, of somebody's capability to fulfill his promises. And nobody, no human person, has that ability. I think the holy person of God is the one that can do that. So we're saying that God is the one that delivered him from the deadly sword, and he is asking for deliverance from the people that are strange, that are liars, that are deceitful, that are foreigners.
And this is good too, because sometimes we just think about corruption and lying and deceitfulness as the normalcy, as the normal way to do things, as the rule, right? So as the common thing to do is to lie and deceit in able to just prosper in the political arena, which is not true. It's not true. And as a church, we need to stop normalizing lies, stop normalizing deceitfulness, stop normalizing people that are doing things the wrong way. This is not acceptable. We don't need to do that. We need to believe that they are rather the exception, not the rule. They are actually the weird ones, the outsiders, not the common ones, not the ones that we tend to think about. That is how we need to start shifting our culture, because we're so used to corruption. We're so used to people just exaggerating everything, blowing everything up to the direction they want it to blow up to in the media, in the public discourse. It's really dangerous, the amount of lies that we are accustomed to, the amount of lies that we are always accepting in every part of society. Then in the verse 12, it says, then our sons in the youth will be like well-nurtured. I know. In verse 12, it says, then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. So this is great, because now we are being taken into this path as to just not think about the present and the past and the future as a threat, but actually understand that what we're doing, the wars that we're fighting, are for the next generation. It says, then, after the deliverance of these strange people, after God gives us the victory and delivers us from the deadly sword, then our young sons will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars. So it's saying we have a steadfast and weight-bearing generation rising up when they see their parents go to war, when they see their parents fight, when they see the previous generation acquiring land instead of just giving up territory. This is what it's saying, and he knows what he's talking about. Maybe not in his mind, but in his spirit, because that's what his son did. He could be a well-nurtured plant, and he could be a pillar. He could be a steadfast rock for his community, guide them in wisdom and guide them in wealth, because his parents were fighting the war. They were acquiring territory. They were going there and breaking barriers and just making new pathways. So this is really powerful. Do we want our next generation to be wealthy and to be wise and to be well-nurtured and to be pillars? We need to understand that for that to happen, we need to do our part, which is the fight part. Yes? And maybe some people would have liked to just, you know, have the previous generation be the one to fight. But we've been seeing a lot of generations just give up a lot of territory. And I'm not judging in any way, because I know in my generation we've done mistakes too. But there's a lot of things that have been happening since maybe after the Second World War, in the spiritual world and in the social arena and the political arena and the cultural arena, that we've been just given up territory. So right now, what is happening is we need to understand we might not be Solomon, but we can be David. And David came actually from before, when there was Saul, and Saul didn't do what he was supposed to. That was the one that came before David. And Saul was more worried about just having the power and the recognition and getting a very, very good grip of power instead of getting a good grip of victory, which was only through God, as David explained in these verses. So what we need to understand here is we are in a David generation, maybe not a Solomon generation. Or maybe we are a mix of both, because we have been seeing an awakening in the spiritual world with a lot of people. And they're being fighting good wars, but we need to understand there are fights to be fought still. And we cannot just settle in the Solomon mentality. Not everything is done out for us. It's really not. Because Saul didn't do his part. I don't know who Saul is, and I will not put a name or a generation to be Saul. But I think there's a lot of Sauls in our nations. A lot of them. And before that even, there's a lot of mess. And a lot of just leaders that look good, like the judges, you know. The judges were like this leader that just rised up for this small cause in this right moment, and then it all died away. So maybe we are coming from the judges era and from the Saul era, and we need to understand we're in the David era and in the Solomon era. But to get to the Solomon era, we need to understand this David era. And he is saying it right. He's saying our youth, our next generation is going to be pillars, is going to be well-nurtured plants, but we need to do this part right. We need to prepare for battle in God's presence. We need to recognize who God is in our lives, that He is capable of bringing us to victory. We are to humble ourselves and understand we don't deserve even a thought from God. And then understanding who are our real enemies, which are the strange ones, the ones that don't align with God's kingdom culture. And that is very important. We need to start making our own kingdom culture. It's not the lies and deceitfulness that is in the world. We need to understand there's a different path provided by heaven and scripture that is guiding us and that should guide us in all of our interactions in the social, political, and cultural arena. Verse 13 says, our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. Our oxen, no, that's just 14, I'm sorry. So up until 13, it says, our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our fields. It's talking about production. It's talking about wealth. It's also talking about our ability to take care of things. Yes, because when multiplying, there has to be fields too. There has to be more people being in the pasturing industry. So it's talking about our capacity to grow economically can happen when we do this part, when we are delivered from the strange people, when we fight our wars, when we prepare for battle, when we take shadow and refuge in God, when we understand that we are to be humbled before Him. Verse 14 says, our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in the streets. So this is peace. Peace. And there's peace and there's prosperity on the other side of war. It's not before. And there's a lot of people that would tell us that war is just in the way. It's not really something that we need to go through to get to peace. But it's not. It's really the way. The way to do peace and prosperity is to have warfare and to fight for what is good. Because then we're just coexisting with what the very thing that is robbing us from the peace and the prosperity. And number 15 says, blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. And what is this? All of this path. All of these things. Preparing for battle. Understanding God's place. Understanding our place. Understanding our enemy's place. And identifying clearly our enemy as the strange ones. As the ones that are to be the exception. And understanding he's our victory. Raising a new song to God. And being delivered. That which will bring a new generation, a strong generation, prosperity and peace. The nation that has all of these things as true is blessed, says David. And he's also saying, blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. And that is the key to everything, to every single thing. That is the key. God is the key to everything. And the fact that he is the Lord of the nation of Israel is what makes the difference in that nation, and it's also what should make the difference in our nations. We shouldn't let go of God as the Lord of our nations. We really shouldn't. That is the only security that we can have of a future of victory and blessing and prosperity and peace. If we give up more territory to the enemy and we start saying there's no problem with having peace in just not going to fight for what is right, then we are just deceiving ourselves and we are being one of those strange people. So let's fight for God's culture, and let's fight for God's plan, and let's be God's people. There's no better team than to be God's people. We're trying to leave you with an application that you can use to actually practice the things that we learn and discuss here in the podcast. So our suggestion to you is to apply this knowledge, understanding how to pray for your nation, how to get involved in your local church, and start digging out places that you can actually influence your city, being guided by God and doing things bravely and just with a lot of boldness in your heart towards God's kingdom. We hope this was very helpful, and we are so happy to serve you, and we hope to see you next time. We'll be right back.